Good morning, and welcome to the July 22nd edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. Let's jump right into our local community news and notes, starting with food pantries available for everyone in Tolono. Every Monday from 5 to 6:30 in the evening and Friday mornings from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Charities, there's a free food pantry in Tolono. It's located at the parish and provides fresh produce, meat, and pantry items for anyone in need in Champaign County. Also in Tolono is The Giving Place every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. The Giving Place is open in Tolono to help all families in need of food items. As a quick reminder, information that parents need for Unit 7 school registration is on the school website. Online registration opened up on July 13th, and in-person registration for the incoming kindergarten and new students is Monday, August 3rd, from 8 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon, and on Tuesday, August 4th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Teachers will return to school on Monday, August 17th, and students will return to their classrooms on Tuesday, August 18th, for the new school year. In today's Sydney Scoop column, brought to us by Ann Roten, we're reminded that Sydney Fun Days are here. They'll start off this Friday, July 24th, with activities from 2 in the afternoon until 11:30 at night, with a full day and evening of activities on Saturday, July 25th, starting with breakfast at 8 a.m. and activities and events taking place all the way through till 11:30 p.m. It's been a long time coming, but this is the week for Sydney Fun Days. And next comes our weekly column from the Tolono Public Library. As our summer reading challenge winds down, don't forget to log your minutes in on the Beanstack app. There's a grand prize for each age group, and everyone who completes the challenge of reading 1,000 minutes this summer is entered into a drawing to win the grand prize. But also, have you received any activity badges for attending a program or participating in a library event? Each activity badge earns you an extra entry into the grand prize drawing. After you attend a program, care for our garden, submit a recipe, or change your phone background, ask a clerk for the redemption code, and your chances of winning the grand prize will double. In the kids' age group, the grand prize is an instant print kids' camera. The teens' prize basket has a Go4 portable Bluetooth speaker and carrying pouch, ladybug sticky notes, a 12-pack QB Mana mini succulent building set, 300 vinyl stickers, and a geometric terrarium kit, while the adult prize basket contains a $25 gift card to the Literary in Champaign, a set of gardening tools, a coffee mug, a fruit slicer, a Cuban Mana sunflower bouquet building set, 200 vinyl stickers, 6 book-themed dish sponges, reusable beeswax food wraps, pencil case, a mason jar water bottle, and a tote bag. The challenge ends at 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 1st, so you've got 1 week to keep on reading. All reading minutes must be logged and prizes redeemed by this time. Our end-of-summer block party for the Tolono Public Library will also be happening at on August 1st, and it would be a great time to stop in and redeem your summer reading prizes. There'll be food trucks, music, and more. And we'll have more news on that coming soon. We also have our regularly scheduled programs this week. They include Kid and Adult Dungeons and Dragons on Thursday, Toddler Story Time and Sensory Play at 10 o'clock a.m. on Friday, and Youth Tinker Club at 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday. This Saturday will be our last Saturday for Euchre for the time being, so come by at 1 in the afternoon if you want to give it a try. Our Teen Dungeons and Dragons event is Monday, and the Teen Make Lab is, as always, on Wednesday at 3:30. We hope to see you soon at the Tolono Library. And next up, we have our weekly report from the Philo Public Library. Another week of sweltering heat is on the way. Are you prepared? If not, why don't you stop into the Philo Library and pick up some items to make the time pass until it cools off enough to resume outdoor activities. And even then, you may want to continue reading the book or watching the movie you checked out when it was 95 degrees. I know I'm repeating myself, but I wanted to be sure that everyone knows that the last day to pick up a reading log for the Summer Reading Challenge is August 1st. Yes, the Philo Public Library is also participating in the Summer Reading Challenge. You can still collect your prizes for a week or so after August 1st, but there will be no more new logs to hand out. We've had a good turnout for the reading challenge, and I think the kids have done an absolutely awesome job. The rewards have been well-deserved and well-received, but who wouldn't want gift certificates to Barnes & Noble bookstores in Champaign? And once they reach the limit at Barnes & Noble's, the next prize is a Monocle's individual pizza certificate. We have other prizes available if the kids want to read more, so do encourage your kids and grandkids to keep reading. There are still many wonderful rewards available. The Community Cookbook is still asking for your recipes. We've sent a few home with people, but we'd love to see more recipes come into the library. The deadline for this submission is August 1st, so please pick up a sheet from the front desk or email philopublib, that's philo, P-U-B-L-I-B, all one word, at gmail.com, and we'll send you a form where you can record your recipe and turn it back into the library for the community cookbook. August 1st is actually an important date, so mark your calendar. The Summer Reading Challenge ends. Recipe forms are due at the library, and the BYOB, that means Bring Your Own Book Club, is meeting the night of August 1st at 6 p.m. Until next week, from everyone at the Philo Public Library, thanks for reading. And now let's take a moment to look up at the stars in the night sky, brought to us by David Leakey, retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. And he begins, "The moon is a day past first quarter phase tonight in the southwest. Though they may be difficult to see due to the glare of the moon sits between two stars, one above and one below. These are the stars of Libra, our celestial scales. The stars are called Zubenelgani and Zubenelshmali, which translated means the northern and southern claw. You see, the stars of Libra used to mark the pinchers of Scorpius, the scorpion, which is the constellation immediately to the east. It looks like a letter J. Note that the red star Antares is its heart. If you saw the movie Moana, this group was also known as Maui's fishhook. Note the two stars at the end of the J shape, the stinger of the scorpion, also known as Snake Eyes. The moon will be near Antares on Friday evening. High in the east are the three stars of our summer triangle. This triangle isn't a constellation, as there is an official list of strictly 88. Anything else, like the triangle and the fish hook we can see this week, are called an antarism. And now we have news from Rocket Nation, brought to us by Diane Ducey. And she begins, the Champaign County Fair is opening Saturday, July 25th, with Military Day and the Demolition Derby at the Champaign County Fairgrounds north of Urbana. So many 4-H projects will be on display in Kessler Hall, and the livestock shows are very impressive, including the horse show on Western Day, which is Sunday, July 26th, with the draft horse show featured at 4 p.m. The unlimited ride bracelets will be good from 12 noon till 5 p.m. on Sunday and a few other days, with Monday, July 27th, giving the little one rides in Kittyland from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The Queen Pageant and the Little Miss Pageant will be at 7 p.m. on Monday, July 27th, and we typically see our first Champaign County Fair Queen from Sedoris, Lois Wood, celebrating the tradition at that event. Harness racing and activities for seniors are featured on Tuesday, July 28th, and the Monster Truck Show will be the spotlight on Wednesday, July 29th. The rodeo is popular on Thursday evening, and as we wrap up the month of July on Friday, come see motorcycles jumping ramps on the course in the motocross event. Saturday, August 1st, will be the First Responder Day and the semi-truck and tractor pulls. Fair organizers are asking participants to review the new chaperone policy for those under age 17 and to know what can be taken into the fairgrounds, which once again are located at 1302 North Kohler Street in Urbana. All the details about the Champaign County Fair can be found at their website, which is simply champaigncountyfair.cc. Champaign County Fair is all one word, champaigncountyfair.cc. And now we have more information about the upcoming new 2026-2027 school year and school registration, brought to us by Unity West Principal Darren O'Connell. Principal O'Connell has limited staff coming into the building these days as the Rockets prepare to return for the fall semester. To stay consistent, the administrative team is telling parents that all of the information that parents need for registration are on our school website, which opened up on July 13th. In-person registration for incoming kindergartners and new students is on Monday, August 3rd from 8 in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon, and on Tuesday, August 4th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our teachers come back to school on Monday, August 17th, and will be greeting our students as they return to school on Tuesday, August 18th. We have one new teacher this year, Mrs. Amanda Smith, who is coming to us from Villa Grove after 17 years, and she is, in fact, a Unity alumna. When friends and family supported Caitlin Humer, upcoming fourth grader participating in the Tom Jones Challenger League season finale on July 14th at Illinois Field, there were questions about the coffee service and all the donations that came in last year. Principal O'Connor reported that we have officially purchased the trailer for Rocket Brew and are just waiting on it to come in. And once again, we want to welcome everybody back to school for the new year. We'd also like to offer a shout out to University of Illinois athletes, including freshman Illinois football quarterback Dane Eisenmenger, who played with kids with disabilities, baseball that is, on Illinois field on Tuesday, July 14th, with two games in the early evening. Among the players was Unity West fourth grader Caitlin Humer, who brought her own cheering section. Hooray! In more education news, we have a feature article this week regarding Illinois school funding. Headlined, as Illinois enters its 10th year under evidence-based funding model, equity still remains an elusive goal. That is, funding has improved for poor schools, but property tax inequities still persist. This article by Peter Hancock from the Illinois Capital News Bureau. And he begins, Illinois has made progress in recent years, boosting funding for schools that serve some of the state's poorest communities and leveling out some, but not all, of the wealth-based disparities in per-pupil instructional spending. As Illinois enters the 10th year of financing schools under the evidence-based funding model, a formula adopted in 2017 that was supposed to improve both the adequacy and the equity of the state's school financing system, wide disparities still exist in the property tax system that funds more than half of the cost of K through 12 education. An analysis of school finance data by Capital News Illinois covering the 9-year period from 2017 to 2025 shows that homeowners in the lowest wealth districts pay tax rates that are double those in the wealthiest districts in the state. These findings are largely consistent with those of other researchers who follow school finance issues nationally. Given the design of the evidence-based funding model and the evidence basis on which it was built, this is about what I would expect. I mean, it's actually a little better than I would have expected, said Bruce Baker, a school finance researcher at the University of Miami. To a significant extent, it has leveled out the resources, but it, by no stretch of the imagination, brought the state to equal education opportunity. The evidence-based funding formula came about after years of negotiations among legislators and stakeholders who were searching for a way to reform what many considered to be the most inequitable school funding system in the country. I have always talked about Pennsylvania and Illinois as being kind of the equity train wreck states, Baker said. Connecticut has taken Illinois' place in that role. At that time, according to state report card data, Illinois was spending about $7 billion a year funding public schools, which is less than one-fourth of the total $28.4 billion being spent by the state's public schools. Federal funding provided another $2.1 billion, or 7.5% of the total. But more than two-thirds of the total, which is $19.3 billion, came from local revenues, primarily property taxes. Meanwhile, there were vast disparities across the state's school systems, both in terms of the taxes they levied on property within their boundaries and the money they spent educating their students. The aim of the new formula was to improve the adequacy and equity of school funding in Illinois. That involved establishing an adequacy target for each district using research-based evidence. That evidence was used to estimate the cost of educating each student in each district. The formula was predicated on the idea that some students are more expensive to educate than others. That meant the adequacy target had to account for such things as the poverty rate within a district, the percentage of its students from non-English speaking backgrounds, the number of students receiving special education services, and the regional cost of living differences, among other factors. A district that 60% to 70% kids from low-income households, or 20 to 30% non-English speaking kids, that school or district might need 40, 50, or even 100% more in spending per pupil than a district that has no kids for low-income families and no kids who are still English learners, Baker said. The per-pupil spending really needs to be differentiated based on the costs to achieve common outcomes. The law then called for increasing state funding each year by at least $300 million and earmarking the bulk of that money for the districts furthest below their adequacy target, with the goal of eventually getting all districts up to at least 90% of adequacy. It also called for funding $50 million each year in property tax relief grants to reduce levies in certain high-tax districts. Districts are awarded grants based on a formula spelled out in a state statute. Districts are expected to use the grant funds to abate taxes they would otherwise levy. At Governor J.B. Pritzker's urging, lawmakers did not fund the grants in the fiscal year that just ended June 30th, but instead passed a bill calling for the Illinois State Board of Education's Professional Review Panel to file a report assessing the impact of the program. That report was released in March. It found that from 2015 through 2023, total property tax collections grew in almost every district in the state, although the growth was slightly lower in districts that had received the grants than those that had not received those grants earlier. Lawmakers renewed the grant program for the fiscal year that began just this past July 1st, but extended the period in which districts must use the funds to abate taxes to up to 3 years. In the years since the evidence-based funding formula was adopted, overall annual state funding for schools has increased more than $3 billion to an estimated $10.8 billion in the fiscal year that just began. Out of 850 elementary, high school, and unit school districts in the state, according to the Illinois State Board of Education's evidence-based funding distribution data, the number of districts that are funded at or above 90% of their adequacy targets has grown from 194 in fiscal year 2018 to 313 in 2026. But after 9 years under the evidence-based funding model, that still leaves 537 districts, which is 63% of the total, funded at less than 90% of adequacy. The Illinois State Board of Education reported during this year's budgeting process that it would take an additional $3 billion to get all Illinois districts up to at least 90% of adequacy. We need more, and I have tried very hard, as you know, in very tight budget circumstances, Pritzker said. We nevertheless were able to increase funding for K-12 schools. But an analysis of school finance data covering the first 8 years of the evidence-based funding formula shows that the state has made really only modest progress to improve the equity of its school finance system, either in terms of the taxes that people pay to fund their local schools and the amount of resources that those districts can devote to classroom instruction. One of the hopes of the new funding system was that as state funding for schools increased, local districts would become less reliant on local property taxes. At the time the evidence-based formula went into effect, there were vast disparities among districts in terms of their relative wealth and the tax rates they levied. According to data from the Illinois Local Education Retrieval Network, also, whose acronym is ILEARN, in fiscal year 2017, the year before evidence-based funding took effect, district wealth ranged from a low of $20,449 in taxable property valuation per pupil to a high of $2.47 million. Property tax rates among the districts also varied widely, from a low of $1.14 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation, or EAV, to a high of $21.82 of equalized assessed valuation. According to the data, people in the poorest 10% of districts in the state paid an average rate of $5.39 per $100 of assessed valuation. That was more than double the average tax rate in the wealthiest 10% of districts, which was only $2.50 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation. Using a statistical tool known as regression analysis, the data showed that for every $10,000 increase in a district's per pupil property wealth, there was a corresponding 0.028 cents decrease in its property tax rate. And while other factors also influence a district's tax rate, property wealth explained 21% of the variation. By the year 2025, the eighth year of the evidence-based formula, data from school districts' annual financial reports showed it that those disparities had eased only slightly. There was still wide variation in tax rates among school districts, from a low of $19,580 to a high of $3.3 million. From 2017 through 2025, the average tax rate among the poorest 10% of districts fell considerably to $4.81 per $100 of assessed valuation. But that was still more than twice as high as the average tax rate among the wealthiest 10%, which was only $2.40 per $100 evaluation. Differences in per pupil property wealth still explained about 21% of the variation in tax rates, but the relationship was not as severe. In 2025, for every $10,000 increase in property wealth, there was a corresponding decrease in tax rates of about 2%. Excuse me, that's 0.02%. Illinois, however, has made increases in resources to districts serving large numbers of high-need students. The evidence-based formula is predicated on the idea that some students are more expensive to educate than others. In addition to the situations described earlier, those resources come down to also include students from low-income families, defined as those who receive or live in households that receive SNAP benefits or temporary assistance for needy families benefits. They may include homeless people, migrants, runaways, Head Start students, or foster children, or they may live in a household where the income meets the U.S. Department of Agriculture guidelines to receive free or reduced-priced meals. In 2017, the year before the new funding formula took effect, there were wide wealth-based gaps in instructional spending across all school districts in Illinois. We hope that situation is improving, and next year's results will tell us a great deal more. This concludes our reading of the July 20, second edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.